This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 6 October 2017. Well, actually, I'm doing this on the 9th. I missed the weekend because I was at the Mises event, the 35th anniversary gala in New York City on Friday and Saturday, flew home on Sunday. It was quite an event with many notable speaking, Dr. Ron Paul, the Honorable Judge Napolitano, and many others. It was well worth the trip, and I suggest anyone that's not familiar with the Austrian School take some time to visit Mises.org, and especially anything to do with Murray Rothbard, which was basically what the whole event centered around. There were lots of other inputs, of course, but almost all the speakers attributed something to Murray. Quite an individual, a plethora of work, a very humble man, and certainly a great sense of humor. So let me move on to what's pertinent to the financial system currently. This article is from SRS Rocco. Headline reads, "Stunning U.S. government debt increase in the past few days," while no one noticed. What Steve points out is that the deficit went over the $20 trillion mark and that $318 billion were added in just a couple days after the debt ceiling was raised. No real surprise on the debt ceiling being raised. What is of note is this huge increase of $318 billion in a matter of days. Been through this many times before, really no end in sight. I do not expect this to carry on forever. At some point, many will reject the currency, and primarily through the debt markets, and we're seeing that. This is a story that doesn't necessarily mean a one-day event where all of a sudden everything crashes, although that's a possibility. It's a remote one. Normally what happens is what we're witnessing, which means we're seeing that China has taken a less positive venture into the U.S. debt markets. They created the AIIB Bank, the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, and a lot of nation states are basically unwinding their debt positions or their bond market positions in U.S. treasuries from short to long term. And you'll see this continue, and that leaves, of course, the buyer of last resort, which is the Fed. And again, at some point, we're going to see this come to a head. And again, it will probably be, or will be, noticing the bond market at first. And it may be subtle clues, but over time, there could be a rush to the exits, and I expect that to be the case. And the next story goes hand in hand with the first one. This is from James Rickards, The Daily Reckoning, the only Russia story that matters. This is old news in a way, but it absolutely requires to bear in mind and reiterate a lot of this article. I won't read it to you, but basically what he's saying is that World Gold Council reported that the Central Bank of Russia has more than doubled its gold purchases. And what you can see is that Russia now has increased from 600 tons to 1,800 tons over the past 10 years. Further in the article, that Russia has been building non-dollar payments with regional trading partners and specifically China. And again, they are producing an alternative to the dollar system and have even created an alternative, the Swiss system, which is basically international settlement system between nation states and private parties. So something to bear in mind. We're continuing to see this. Further, Russia's Development Bank, VEB, and several Russian state ministries are teaming up to develop blockchain technology. We know where the Ethereum system came from. And they want to create an encrypted, distributed, inexpensive payment system that does not rely on Western Bank SWIFT or the U.S. This has nothing to do with Bitcoin, which is just another digital token. The blockchain technology is a platform that can facilitate a wide variety of transfers, possibly including a new Russian state cryptocurrency backed by gold. Something to bear in mind. And the last article before I do some in-depth speaking about what's going on with the China oil futures slash gold situation. This is from UPI, and it is speaking about Christine Lagarde of the IMF. Headline reads, "Every economy at risk from climate change, IMF says." And the article says the consequences of a changing climate pose a threat to every single economy in the world, the head of the IMF said in Massachusetts. An annual report from the World Health Organization and UNICEF said global hunger is on the rise, affecting 11% of the world's population, in part because of climate change. And the report goes on. I think I would add to this that's, the climate change goes on, and I'm not going to get into the debate, although I have studied both sides fairly well. What I will say is I would relate it more to climate catastrophe or climate disaster, which means what happens when you have Hurricane Harvey, when you have these massive hurricanes that have been in the United States recently, when you have increased volcanism or volcanoes going off globally, these massive earthquakes that are taking place more frequently, worldly or globally or on the plane, however you want to look at it. Regardless, I would say it's the disasters that cause disruptions to the physical economy, especially you might look at agriculture and, of course, infrastructure as well. And this is quote unquote, the climate change. Now, how much is man-made? How much comes from the sun? How much is due to geoengineering and on? I won't get in that debate because I don't feel qualified, but I think all of it plays a part. How much could be debated? And again, I won't get into that debate. So now I'm going to take probably the last 5 minutes of this weekly perspective to talk about what I've talked about for the past several weeks, which means the China futures market and oil, and then that relating to gold. And I'll leave it an open-ended question here for now. But doing some further research, going back, this is an article that was written, or published rather, the 22nd of July, and it is from the South China Morning Post. China aims for pricing power in launching crude oil futures. And this one, I think you can get a little better feel for some official statements, although I can't verify them with second or third parties. But let me say this, and this is a quote, to secure its bargaining power to price oil, a significant energy resource, Beijing nearly 7 years ago prepared to launch China's first crude oil futures. It was not until December 2014 that State Council officially approved the trading platform established by the Shanghai Futures Exchange in the city's free trade zone to list the contracts, which would, for the first time, invite foreign investors to trade mainland commodity futures. It was expected that trading could start within 2015, after oil futures received the go-ahead from the cabinet. But the ambition to create a premier price benchmark for oil traded in Asia hit a blip in the mid-2015 as the Shanghai Futures Exchange backed down on the plan for an imminent launch of the energy contract. So this leads some credence to, is it official or not? And that's on the oil side only. So I've been in the middle, I guess, of the debate of, is this official or is it not? And because of that, I have taken some time to contact people in the industry that are well known, and there will be, and there was a response by Alistair McLeod from Gold Money, who is quite studied and very level-headed and certainly a good researcher in my view. And he answered a mail chain that I had started along with others, questioning, vetting the sources of the ability to transfer the oil futures into a gold contract. And I got quite a lengthy response, which I won't post here on this video or in the podcast. Suffice it to say that there will be a follow-up probably Wednesday or Thursday of this week that will actually go through the details that Alistair has summarized in this lengthy email, and I will, of course, put that on the Morgan Report blog. So two things. One, if you're interested, and you should be, you can come to our blog site. I'd say check the blog once or twice a week. I don't post daily on the blog, but I do post every week. And secondly, get on our free email list at themorganreport.com, because anytime we get something that not only myself does on an interview, but something pertinent to everybody in the gold community, we send that out on a weekly basis on the weekend. So this is something that we all need to know more about. And certainly the oil futures settlement in yuan alone is significant. But if there is a direct or indirect tie to gold, that is even more significant. As I stated in the first podcast I did a few weeks back, indicating debating, like many others, how significant this would be in relationship to the paradigm of the petrodollar being the quote-unquote reserve currency of the world because of its place as a petrodollar. And if that is to be challenged, which this could mean, then we all need to be aware of it. So that'll close out this weekly perspective. I should be back with you on a regular schedule starting next week.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.